One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So it's official. I have a new favorite word that Daisy says with an Irish accent.
Oh.
And that is seafood palooza. Drink for as many times as we said seafood palooza.
You're going to be
seafood
drunk.
Seafood palooza.
You're going to be drunk, drunk, drunk.
And after a while, someone said, what is a seafood palooza?
What is a seafood palooza, poodle?
I don't know. I don't think it has any definable. I did not go to the OED to define this, but I had some ideas. Like, I think Jay says, it's like you're overwhelmed with seafood. And then one day I pictured Big Jim, them like loading up like 8 pounds of shrimp on his belly. Or... at
like
one
this.
Point, him being force-fed seafood, like mussels, like a duck, like with foie gras.
I don't know.
I seafood palooza. It was never defined.
It was never defined. It was just a lot. This all looked too heavy to me. I would be so sick after that.
Well, she got sick later the next day. What about it was heavy? Well, the lobster mac and cheese for sure,
and all the on the fish was butter and like the sauces. Like sometimes seafood can be that kind of very like old steakhouse way of serving seafood. It's too heavy.
Don't ruin everyone's fun.
I'm just saying. I'm offering an opinion the same reason you would. You just don't like it because you like seafood.
I do like it.
I mean, I do too.
I think it was, besides the lobster and mac and cheese that was studded with actual truffles, it's normal to put butter on lobster. And
I know, but it's just heavy.
Yeah, but that's how lobster's eaten like 90% of the time.
I know. I'm saying, you know, but I'm just saying it's a lot. I just wish there may have been a little salad in there or something.
These people, you want excess on a boat.
Well,
it doesn't
matter. I don't want to shit my pants on a boat.
I reject your opinion, and I do not find it helpful on this boat. Sorry.
Welcome to 90% of what you say on this show. I just roll my eyes.
This is BDSM Below Deck Sailing Yacht. You know what I realized? I was thinking about this the other day.
What?
We rarely announce who we are anymore. We should probably say we're reality gays in our name. I know.
Should we?
I think we should.
I mean, they can read it.
You know, I had such an aversion to that at the beginning, and you said people need to know who we are, and now I'm coming around to it.
4 years later. Yeah. 5 years later.
Yo, we're reality gays. I'm Poodle.
And I'm... Maddie.
Don't say your full name. That's what I had the biggest problem with.
Why? I just said that you're James Jacob Anthony, otherwise known as Poodle.
Someone will steal my identity.
I'm Matthew Carl Marr, otherwise known as Maddie.
But now you're Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen.
Matthew Stephen Marr.
Stephen. Boy, look, y'all. I'm pretty hard up. I'll be honest. It's been a while since I've had sex, which
known
is fine.
The touch of a man.
Yeah, it's true. I don't really want anybody to touch me right now. But
it's been a while for me too.
Yeah, 2 days.
That's a long time.
You have to be really fucking annoying to have an amazing body with tattoos, and I don't want to fuck you at all. You've got to be real fucking annoying.
Chase, you mean.
Boobies! Boobies! Yeah.
I think what happened was he got drunk enough. I was waiting for his like drunk fratty Southern boy thing to come off because he does like a lot of Southern dumbasses when they're on camera. They let their accent go a little more posh. As soon as he started drinking, y'all, that corn, that like Southern fried Somerville, Southern plate, wherever he comes from, Abbeville, South Carolina, or wherever it was, starts coming in, and he sounds like he just had corn pone for breakfast.
It's the way Poodle sounds when he's really drunk.
I do that too. Trust me, I know it because I did it.
I mean, I kind of always sound the same because I always sound like that.
Yeah, I always sound like a rube, unfortunately. Yeah.
I like it. Lilton.
No.
That's what they tell me. Put people to sleep.
That I would agree with.
All right. What the fuck are we doing? I don't know if we have any announcements. I don't know.
Sorry, I just said Below Deck. Night of Fiance, Before the 90 B90. Days.
B90.
B90 is premiering on Sunday.
It is.
Yeah,
it
new, is. New season. Who dis?
We're very excited. Very, very excited.
After a great season of Toe with a very underwhelming
tell-all,
the last part especially.
That's all right.
More of a tell some.
Yeah, we just want to remind people, if you want to see, you know, the Shark Productions, they did something different this year. As we talked about on the podcast, they have a producer, Martin Scorsese. And
Martin Scorsese, the Jewish Scorsese.
He's directed a film with Debbie about Debbie's new love. And you can see that on our Instagram and our TikToks.
The actor or actress playing her may be nominated for something.
Oh, wow.
There's Oscar
buzz. I don't know if it's actor. I all know the actor that's playing Debbie, that their pronouns are bitch.
Well, I heard that bitch did a great job.
Bitch did a great job.
Embodying the character. Bitch really sourced things.
Yeah.
I found.
I thought it was great.
The donkey was really phoning it in, personally.
I think the bitch
one
was
gag.
Born, I think the bitch was born for the role and should actually go to Morocco forever and study. That's what I think.
Yeah, the donkey was really the disappointment in the whole thing. It was a shame, really.
Check that out on our social medias. Other than that, that's it. Let's sail away. Come sail away. Come sail away. Come sail away with me.
Season 4, episode 8. Cheers to boobies.
Cheers. We're remote but goat because I have allergies. I want to make sure I'm not sick.
And I have allergies too, but I'm kind of glad you're not in my house.
Say, yeah, she always prefers
it's fine. Ultimatum queer love. Should say. Hopefully we'll get those screeners.
That's a good thing to know. We want to let people know that normally Netflix is they're great. And this,
of course, they've been having a platform-wide issue with screeners.
With getting screeners. So normally the Ultimate and Queer Love is going to drop on Wednesday at 12 a.m. Yep. And we were going to drop our episodes Thursday. At 12 a.m. on.
Oh, you mean they would drop it on Wednesday.
Yeah, if you let me finish. What is that from? If you let me finish, what movie is that from?
I don't remember.
Anyway, so 12 a.m. on Wednesdays when they drop their show. So we normally try to do a 12 a.m. on Thursday Pacific time. That probably is because of the schedule already. It's not going to happen. We're going to try to get some up on Thursday, maybe one or two. But they hopefully will all be up by 12 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah.
So just letting people know.
That's on our Reality Gaze Plus at our $5 level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's jump into this.
I do want seafood now a little bit.
But not anything with butter. God forbid.
I'm just saying the combination of all of it. I wouldn't mind a cheddar biscuit.
I will say I do agree that the lobster mac and cheese was a little much, but that those are the people that kind of charter loves that. I would have had 3 bites of that lobster mac and cheese and gone, I'm full.
Because did it have truffles on it too?
Oh yeah, like full on sliced truffles.
Oh, just a lot.
Truffle, good. Y'all hang back on the truffle.
She just had real truffles
hang
though.
Back. It's too much. Too much. That's what our cabaret name is going to be. Yeah. Too much.
You're very opinionated in about our 80s. That. It sounds like you were like once with a Frenchman who just fucked you with truffles, and now you're just truffled out or something, truffle oil or something.
Oh, truffle oil is fake.
It is.
It's fake. Made of a false compound. That
we learned that on Below Deck.
One of our sissies. I thought one of our sissies
told us. They talked about it on Below Deck. We said, that's not true. And then one of our sissies said, yes, it is. Who gives a shit? Let's talk about BDSY, episode 8 of season 4. Cheers to boobies.
What's your first teabag?
My first teabag is more of a question. Poodle.
Oh.
Would you consider Daisy a talentless person? Because she says she is. She's like, I'm talentless.
I think a lot of people often say, I don't have a talent, because they think that talent is like being able to paint or dance or something like that. But we often think of a talent show where people sing or they do impressions or something like that. I think we've all learned on whenever the guests want a talent show, none of that matters. I think this is a, I think she's a very talented person. I don't think that any of those, the things of the arts of the muses maybe did not bless Daisy.
Mm-mm.
She may not be the best at lyric poetry, or Terpsichore did not bless her.
No.
In dance. Is it Terpsichore who's the muse of dance? I can't remember. I learned them at one point. I don't know why.
Wow. Were you gonna like freak out your mother and stop and start worshiping like Roman or Greek gods to freak her out?
You know that when Edith Hamilton's mythology was taught in our high school, parents freaked out and they wanted the teacher fired. Because I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna commit to gonna start worshiping Erato, the muse of erotic poetry.
I don't even know if we studied that. Oh no, we did in freshman English because we read something.
What this parent was basically saying is, well, if you're not allowed to study the Bible, you shouldn't be able to study Greek mythology. And I'm like, shut up, you stupid redneck mouth breather.
Well, I guarantee you they'll get rid of that in Florida soon.
Yep, no more mythology.
No more mythology.
So, to answer your question, I don't believe Daisy's talentless. I think she's talented in what she does.
There you go.
I also think these talent shows are a joke, and I think it's fine that they are, because all of the crew freaks the fuck out, and then at the end, it's always fine.
Because the charter's drunk.
Yeah.
They don't care. I just want something to do for 30 minutes.
I did bring up, and it's going to be part of my teabag a little bit later. You know how I have a problem about the charter guests kind of like throwing tin cans and telling the crew, dance for me, monkeys.
Yes.
Big Jim is kind of the epitome of that. So I'm going to talk about that later on. Great.
Great.
another soapbox.
Great. If you keep having these soapboxes, I'm actually going to make you buy a soapbox and stand on it. And that's your fear.
No! Because
you're scared it's going to break.
It's going to break under my weight.
We can reinforce it with lug nuts.
Shut up.
What's your next teabag?
I must say, when Alex was just peeing with the door open and Glenn walked in and he's like, oh, sorry. Glenn's like, man, not fine for me. Glenn is unflappable.
He really is.
It's why he will ever, forever be everyone's just kind of like the captain of the everyman.
And it's that Canadian niceness. It's like in our Facebook group, I noticed because I was talking about Shania Twain and some Canadian sissies were talking about Shania Twain and they were disagreeing about her. And the way they acted, they were like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, this is so different than the way Americans fight on Facebook. Like, you bitch, you yeah. cat. And then they get blocked and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Maybe you are sorry. Right. She's like, oh, yeah, I understand you, bitch. And so it's just was so kind and so sweet.
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't understand that in this country. That's not how we draw lines and we fight for blood. Especially in comment sections.
Especially in comment sections.
So,
yeah.
I just like that.
Alex does get hotter and hotter, though, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. The idea, what I liked is it was showing he and Gary were both shirtless. And Gary was saying something about men are dogs. And Alex like, no, just you. And Alex was just standing there. And it looked like some type of like poster that would be on like a teenage girl's wall of him shirtless and that long hair.
Processing some unresolved feelings, are you, Poots?
And it's not like a super worked out body, but it just looks like a body of a guy who works on a boat.
It's like somebody who it is a Bop magazine body.
Yeah.
Did you ever read Bop?
No, because I did not have older female cousins, or I wasn't really close with, or I didn't ask to read reading material that my girlfriends were reading.
What would you read when you go over to their house for a summer party and braid their hair?
I didn't do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? Just me? Okay. Yeah. Well,
You
didn't play girl talk?
Or when I was the church lock-in, I would climb up to the sanctuary and read strange hymns. Usually by myself.
That's so sad because that's true.
What hymns don't I know? Let me look through Methodist hymnal for a hymn we have not sung in a very long time. Wonder if any of these are about an obscure verse.
And you just imagine you would discover the new hymn everybody forgot, and they would love Poodle Anthony, the little gay church singer that could. That's a little poodle book. Little poodle sings at church.
And I was just like, I'd be like playing upstairs on a hymn. I'm like, oh, I've never heard of this one.
God, where's Jay Bird again? Is he up in that sanctuary? God, I wish he'd just play football.
You know what? My parents never tried to encourage me to play football. The only sport they encouraged me at two sports. It was soccer and track, like
running.
And, yeah. Things that so I wouldn't be a fat kid.
Because that was their fear.
Because my father was terrified. Oh, the shame. they never encouraged me to play football. My brother never played football. In fact, if he would wanted to, my mother probably would not have let him.
Really?
Yeah. You can get hurt. Also, my mother hates football culture.
Ah.
Which I understand it. You come from a family where your brother played football, right?
Everyone did.
Yeah.
I don't dislike football culture. I do and I don't. It gave us something to do on Friday nights because there's nothing to do. But at the same time, I hate how – I've talked about this before, but I hate how life literally revolves around football and in Oklahoma. Yeah. And that's annoying.
Agree.
Anyway, we're going to get the sports people that come at us. We need to move on.
Fuck them. What's your next teabag?
Poodle. A lot of questions for you for my teabags today.
Great.
So we've got some Irish dancing, and I know you were a clogger, and that is kind of a
it's adjacent.
A stepsister, and the redheaded Irish stepsister to Irish dancing and clogging. But how did you feel as a master clogger? At least the way you talk about it.
I did win a competition. I was part of a team.
What was the competition called?
We were in the state clogging championships in South Carolina.
Well, how would you rate their Irish dancing?
It's not really the same. It is definitely the antecedent of where clogging comes from, but there's a lot of differences. It was fine. Even Daisy said, I wasn't an Irish dancer as a child. And I'm definitely not one now. They kind of did what they needed to. What did help is their couture from the House of Nozama Irish costumes.
Yeah, that was very helpful.
Y'all, Nozama is our couturier. Couture artist. It's our couture house.
Yes.
Nozama. People are always wondering, where can I get things from the House of Nozama?
Yeah, I don't think they're sponsoring us anymore, so probably.
Just, y'all, if you wonder what Nozama is, write it down and look what Nozama
and
is
look
backwards.
At it in a mirror like a treasure. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Poodle, what's your next tea bag?
You asked me a question. It was, but in response to you, it was fine. They did what they could do.
I'm still waiting for a clogging video.
I think there's one out there. Boy, we would go to Fontana Dam.
What's going on with your cords? What are you doing? What are you doing?
They're on my legs and they're touching and they're annoying me. Anything that's touching me on my body that I don't approve of is a problem. My next tea bag is, can we talk about the kind of Gary Alex moment where I can actually understand what Gary was trying to do. What he was trying to do is come to get, because here's the thing, y'all, Gary just wants to be liked by the people and his crew. He says he doesn't, but he does. He wants to be liked. So what he's doing when he's talking to Alex, like, yeah, Chase was really pissed. Instead of saying, I didn't like that the boat looked bad, he puts it to Chase. Now, what that looks like is, and he probably, under the surface, he is trying to create drama. But more than anything else, he just want to be the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing. He doesn't want to be the bad guy.
Especially with Alex.
I think it's almost equal this time where he really wants, I agree with you. He doesn't want to be the bad guy, but I think just as much, he wants Alex to feel like they're buddies and basically to like him more than Chase.
Agreed.
I do think it's a competition.
I agree with you.
And he is fine. And he's already decided he doesn't like Chase. And after this episode, we can understand why a little bit more. Because Chase is going to be chasing. But I definitely think he wanted to be, I think because Gary, I don't think he was innocent at all. I definitely think, Alex, he knows Alex, Gary's jealous of Alex.
Yeah,
because
totally.
He's younger and he's hot and he brings it up all the fucking time.
And so he's the competition.
Yeah, he's like, so let me keep this enemy closer.
Yep, I totally agree with you.
This is a Poodle Boudreaux move from when you worked in restaurants.
It is, especially if I'm in charge of something. Ooh, yeah. I would create an elaborate web of people who had alliances to me.
And they all hated one another.
Yes.
But they loved you. That's what you did at that bookstore.
Oh, wait. I did that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you did that. You literally, the owner of the bookstore left because of you. Because you've got all the employees to hate him.
The manager. But yes.
The manager.
Yeah. No, I got him fired.
And then you were the new manager?
I was the assistant manager, and I hate it.
That is the most Poodle move. You spent all this time. You get
getting
the manager
somewhere,
fired.
And I'm like, and I then don't they like say, where
do you,
I am.
Yep. They say, do you want to be the manager? And you go, no, I just want to suck dick in a bookstore and have the keys to get fucked after the bars close.
It's like I thought I knew what I wanted, and I was the dog that chased the car. And then I got it, and like, well, I'm not happy now. I think I'll quit.
I think you did. Then you quit and you just left them in a bind to have nobody. And then we had y'all.
We had a new manager who came in who I despised. And then I just verbally berated him constantly.
And
the
then
things that I said to him.
And guess what? After y'all, I think 4 months after Poodle.
They were still calling me. Yeah.
After Poodle let that manager go, got him fired. After 4 months later, I think is when they closed. Y'all, yeah. He took down the bookstore.
They didn't know. They couldn't find their ass with both hands. That was how it was.
Which is saying something because they were all gay men.
I think the problem is I set in motion a couple of ways that the bookstore was doing business that wasn't sustainable to anyone else besides me, which was great job security for me, but not good for anybody else who came after me. And anyway.
Well, I think you were, yes, you had your moments, but some of the other managers were, you know, high on meth managing. And
maybe.
I think that kind of influenced things too.
Maybe someone was late for their shift because they passed out in a bar bathroom from a meth overdose. Maybe.
Maybe.
Wow. And they still showed up.
You know what? And on that note, we're going to take a commercial and we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cool.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, Queens!
Y'all, we're back. And I told Poodle, oh, I wanted to tell you something. And Poodle said, this better be relevant.
And that's behind the scenes of what happens.
Hello,
this
irrelevant.
Better be relevant.
Hello, irrelevant.
Hello, God, irrelevant.
So, did you know one of the women, the woman who's who is known for like the big black woman who sang all the who was kind of known as the voice of like R&B, like
yes,
pop. That was it's Mary. I forget her name. She was in the group that sang "It's Raining Men."
Yeah, Martha Wash.
Martha, I didn't know that it was from It's Raining Men. I did not know that. And I'm bringing it up because you and I talk about all the Thunderpuss and the Thunderpussy remixes so much. And I thought
Thunderpuss, yeah.
She's been such, she was instrumental. That woman, I would say, single-handedly made me gayer.
I would agree. I think that woman is responsible for a lot of gay men getting fingered.
Yes.
On dance floors.
And that's our new segment coming up for the month of June, Heroes of Pride.
She's definitely a shero. She was part of the Weather Girls. She sang on the big one, I think, she sang on You Make Me Feel Mighty Real from Sylvester. That was like
really,
yeah,
really.
Oh yeah, she's huge.
Martha Washington, good for her.
Wash.
The first lady of our country, yes. Made us gay.
I think she was definitely the inspiration. Now, since this is the Below Deck podcast, is when I told you on the Twink Boat song, "Take It, Twink Boat Diva."
Oh,
you
and
immediately
I
channeled Martha Wash.
I did.
It was her.
I did.
I really hope there's a twink. There's another twink boat because I feel like we need to do a whole. I feel like that's a whole song.
I would actually. This is what my dream would be. I would love to find someone who lives in Marina Del Rey, use their boat, hire a bunch of twinks, and then film a music video with us singing with twinks around us. What's going to happen is we're going to have a toy boat in a kiddie pool in my yes. backyard with us sitting in a pool of water and one guy who says he's a twink that answered our Craigslist ad that it's actually a 50-year-old
man. He's in his 50s.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to get.
Maybe we could ask the gay who we met with Haley. She's not a twink anymore, but she'd probably be in the video.
No, he's got a huge dick too.
You've seen it? Or you can use his tail.
We need to move on.
What? No,
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a dick in so long that if one popped up, I'd say, Mama, what's that looking at me right there?
Is that a hairless mole rat?
It's got one eye, Mama, and I don't think it's quite peculiar. I don't know what to tell you, but think about it, Mama.
You wouldn't know whether to talk to it or suck it.
I wouldn't know.
Let's move on. Thank you for that digression.
For
Heroes of Pride moment.
You're welcome. Happy Pride. You know what? I've decided we're going to do that segment now. We're going to do that. When we're inspired, we're going to have Heroes of Pride.
Sheroes or Heroes of Pride.
Yeah, I like Sheroes for sure.
Martha Wash is definitely one of those.
Yes.
I totally agree. We wouldn't have It's Raining Men. How do you have pride without It's Raining Men?
You don't. You don't have pride. That's what happens.
The whole pride movement wouldn't exist.
Not at all.
Anyway, so I want to talk about the fact that Gary's kind of the next teabag is that Gary basically says to Mads, well, now that we've hooked up twice, where do we stand?
Where do we stand?
He kind of says, so where's this going? And it was such a strange thing because the only reason he did it is because he faces competition from Alex.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And he wanted to make sure she was on the same page that, in other words, when he got drunk and he gets handsy and wants to make out, she's going to be available. And I've just never heard Gary make any type of quote unquote commitment speech because that's kind of what it was turning out to be.
This is what happens when Gary gets garried. He becomes, it's literally like out of a fucking 80s movie, like She's All That or something like that, where her friend says, you know how you get the guy? You ignore him and act like you don't care about him and it'll drive him crazy.
Yeah,
and Gary is so fucking immature and basic. That works, y'all.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else. I can't even think of anybody else I know in my life who, if you ignore them and act like you aren't interested in, it drives them just viscerally crazy and they'll be eat up and almost consumed with a desire to rapture you.
I don't know either. And that's not the way you use rapture. Ravish.
Ravish. That's what I meant to say. Ravish you.
You almost had it. You almost sealed almost it there at the end.
Almost.
I was rooting for you.
It's true.
I don't know anybody like that.
So, yeah. Uh-huh.
But I this concept of he's like, what are your expectations out of the rest of the charter season?
And she's like, we're just kind of hooking up. I don't have expectations. Why are you being weird?
He's like, and I went, I love her. And I will say this, she's out Garying him.
Yeah.
This season. And
she's a Shiro of pride.
And I want to say, she's having a lot of fucking fun on this boat. And yes. Good for her. A lot of times, especially on Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Gary winds up pitting the two women against one another. That's not happening this season.
No. So it's that's all why he's doing the it with men. The men.
Yeah.
That's why he's telling Alex, Chase freaked out, was yelling and screaming, and Chase didn't do that at all.
I'm enjoying watching this little drama play out. And so it's because Lucy and Mads got each other's backs. Especially Lucy, yeah. Lucy at the end telling Chase where he could fucking stick it with his boobies and tequila shit. Good for Lucy.
I think this is a bit of good for Lucy, agree. This is a bit of unraveling for Gary. And I think because Gary doesn't know what his place is on this boat.
Agree.
He doesn't feel like he fits in with the guys. Like you said, I do think he wants everyone to like him. He doesn't know what he fits in with the girls. He doesn't know how he fits in with Daisy.
Yeah.
Because Daisy is kind of like moved on. And we see later she's really moved on, but not really. But once, mark my words, once Gary finds out that Colin and Daisy hooked up, he's going to go nuts.
I agree. And Gary basically says, she gets so jealous of me hooking up with one of her stews. That's not it. It's just that she remembers season two, where the level of service dropped completely when you hooked up with two women and they hated each other. She's worried about that hurting her crew. That's why she's looking at you that way. Yeah, that's what I don't think he gets, because everything is based down to the way people are seeing him, because that's what a child does. A child only sees themselves as the center of how things work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's a child.
He is a child.
What's your next teabag? I think that was mine.
What did you think about, we talked a lot about the talent show, but what did you think about Colin and Alex's song?
Is there anything Colin can't do? Anything.
I know.
Well, I expect him to do like calculations and calculus on like A Beautiful Mind style next week.
I think there's one thing he won't do, and that's you. So I think
you don't know that.
No, I don't think he's going to do you or me. I think probably that ship has not even sailed. It's not even coming into port.
I think there's always a chance with boat folk. All right, let's move. That is so useful on this podcast. I'm so glad you did that. It really, and I will compliment you on your comic timing of being able to use it well.
Well, when it doesn't go off and go boo-doo, boo-doo, yeah. Boo-doo.
No, you actually did it correctly, and I just want to praise you for that. See, people say I never give you compliments when you do things correctly.
What people don't realize is that I don't listen to your compliments or your criticism. I just keep going, y'all. I'm like that fish on Ellen or whatever that movie is. I just keep swimming.
That fish on
Ellen,
you mean,
or
you Finding Nemo. Doris.
Oh, Finding Dory. Dory.
Finding Doris? Finding. Hey,
Have you seen Doris, everybody? Have you seen Doris?
Finding Doris Kearns Goodwin. The story of when Doris Kearns Goodwin, America's premier presidential historian, goes missing.
Wow.
So that's the first Doris Kearns Goodwin reference on the pod today. Possibly not the last.
References only.
Quote, she's still relevant. Okay. Never mind. No, if you know who Doris Kearns Goodwin is, you're a nerd, because you're like me.
Yeah.
So was that my tea bag? No.
No, that was mine.
Okay, so I'm going next. This is when I would talk about Big Jim. You know, this is the guy who was there last year. He had the talent show. It always feels like it's almost like a rich person in an absurdist play where they're named things like Mr. Moneybags, and literally in every scene they're counting their money and yes. they're large and they're just eating food and like their mouth is covered in the food.
Yeah.
But there's this idea that a lot of times they have like they make the crew do things and like the mind games. And he said, yeah, if you had to send one of your cast members on a deserted island and replace it with me, who would it be?
Daisy's like, I'm not answering that.
It's just so weird. And I've worked in these places and you know I have. You know, this is what country clubs are made up of, these men.
Yeah, he's not an asshole about
it. No, no, no.
He's just entitled. There's a difference of entitlement and then asshole.
You know what? He's kind of the nicest of these guys, though. But what I'm pointing out is that's the culture of...
Would you say they live in a different world, so they don't think it's weird.
Yeah. And this guy is probably not a bad guy, but he does just little things like that of making people choose, mind games, crawling around the floor and barking like a dog to scare big-titted Lucy. So hopefully you could have her shake her jugs at you and you'd enjoy it like it's some type of Benny Hill sketch. I'm sorry, I just read him for filth. But it's true. Wow. But I'm saying... this is the nicest part of that culture in a weird way.
No, I agree.
The ugliest part of that culture is Jeffrey Epstein. You know? That's the first Jeffrey Epstein mentioned.
Let's not compare this nice guy to Jeffrey Epstein. Maybe that's a stretch.
I'm talking about a culture.
The opinions of Jake Anthony are not the opinions of Reality Bay.
Yes, they are
not. They are not.
If my opinions are our brand.
Christina, you edited it out. It has nothing to do with me.
You're stuck with me. I'm sinking you like an anchor.
Yeah, wow.
I'll take you down. I'll drag you down with me. What's your next teabag?
I'll just tell you we're going to a bar and then take you to rehab.
Seeing as how I've just mentioned Jeffrey Epstein. All right.
Okay, so we're going to move on after the crew, after the charter leaves. I leave a big tip. Great. And then let's just talk about, look, Jake and I don't like to be stereotypes, gay stereotypes.
Even though we are.
Even though we are. Big ones.
We don't like it, but we don't like it, even though we are. We don't like to be it.
We have maybe leaned into some of those stereotypes about frat guys, the way they act. We might have even talked about Sean Cody or Corbin Fisher or Jake has said, I think Jake
Next
has.
Next Door Studios.
Yes, Jake has Haze
Cocky
Me
Boys.
Haze Me Part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think
I'm going to object to that. It's Haze Him.
I'm so sorry. We don't want to misquote art. Haze Him.
I don't want to besmirch the name of Haze Him Studios.
Yes, yes. So we are participants in this, and we have to say, so Poodle, it's the line though that Chase becomes the worst of the worst of this. Like he's like, I know some people think this is funny, but if I'm out drinking and I'm having a bottled beer and someone does that thing where they tap on my beer and it fizzes up.
Yeah, I hate it.
I think that it's such like basically, y'all, if you're with a guy who does that, that's just basically them trying to slap their dick in another guy's face to say, I'm a bigger bro than you. It's small dick energy and I'm not here for it.
It's also, I think it's that he feels so, I think he's one of these people who's celebrated in his friend group or his peer group. And he is not the cool person on this boat. He is probably the least liked on this boat, definitely by the women.
Yeah.
And I think he's picking up on it, even though he's usually pretty slow about things like that. And this is his way of dealing with it, to drink and get worse. Because there is no, because I think if he pulled his behavior back, he'd have to acknowledge that maybe my behavior is the problem. And that hit, I don't know how well he was raised. I guarantee you it was upper middle class, South Carolina. But he didn't want for anything. That's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, good-looking Southern white men, straight white men, who look like that, you don't have to question a lot of things because of your own privilege. So mm-hmm. he's not grown up to make those changes, if that makes sense. I'm not making excuses for him, and it's gross to watch. And if you've ever had to, if you've been a woman associated with a person like Chase before, you know that they don't grow up until they're in their mid-30s.
They don't. And he needs to be careful because even though they're not on charter, but he's still working. And the fact that he's just completely like, Lucy is so annoyed with, he just keeps talking about her breast.
Yep.
This and is not appropriate work behavior.
It's not even that. It's not appropriate human behavior, which someone like Lucy, who is endowed in that area, who's probably pretty sensitive about it because all men do is talk about it. So yeah. To have someone who it makes you feel kind of unsafe, that's what starts to feel like. That's why she gets upset. I think a lot of people at the table were like, why? Where did this come from? Because he nonstop is talking about her fucking boobs the whole time and not in a way that lets her in on the joke.
No.
It's not with her. It's making fun of her boobs. That's what
it's
it is.
Othering her, yes.
So no wonder she got pissed off. And I loved it when she got up and said, you're a fucking asshole.
She did. Sheffy threw up.
I think that was for different reasons. I think Sheffy might be pregnant.
You think?
That's the, I guess I'm thinking, why did we film it? Why? I feel like otherwise, why would it have been aired?
Maybe she, because I couldn't tell if she was super drunk. I don't think she was.
I don't think so. I think I'm just going by the cultural signifier of a woman going, I'm not feeling that well. And we immediately go, pregnant.
We do. It happens every time on Love After Lockup.
Right. So I think, I wonder why they showed it. The other thing I thought of is maybe some sign of, like, hopefully not, of some kind of medical issue where she has to leave, which will be really upsetting because I think she's been fucking killing it. And she's lovely and she's fun and she's not a crazy person.
What if it's a hot male chef that comes, though?
Go with God, Alicia. I wish you the best.
I wish you the best.
We're going to leave this here.
Yeah, leave this here.
Yeah.
What's your next teabag?
Is it my turn?
That was mine, yeah.
Wow, this was like a crazy episode. I just want to talk about the last
fuckgate
6 to 7 minutes here.
People just
this
fucking.
This kind of musical bed / fucking. What? This will probably be this will be issued or probably kind of like handled the next episode. But I was kind of taken aback by the way that Colin and I didn't know what happened, but like Colin and Alex just bursted in on Gary.
That was not a
Mads.
Good move, Colin.
And
they were all behaving like 11-year-olds, of them, the men, the women.
Mads may have, she didn't want her body seen by.
Yeah.
Gary probably wouldn't care. But even Gary's like, that's fucking weird. That's don't do that.
It's weird for Colin. It almost feels this season like Colin has some unresolved resentment towards Gary.
Oh, yeah. It felt like that last season to me. No, Colin, that's when Colin said, Gary is such a gossip. I'm like, you are the one. I love Colin, but y'all, he is a fucking instigator. He is Woody the Woodpecker on that boat. He is always gossiping with everybody. That's what he does.
And I'd love to be a piece of wood he pecked on.
Fuck me.
Oh.
So this moment of Gary and Mads and like going into the cabin and then Mads is in bed with Gary and where's Gary? What happened? Then they go in on them and Mads freaks out because I think she's basically like, they just really, I think she's embarrassed and she,
yeah.
Someone may have fucking seen her body who she didn't want to.
Yeah.
Complete, yeah.
In, unlike poodles, some people don't like to be watched when they're having sex.
I don't always like it. I just need to know about it so I can put on a good show. It's the one thing I learned from P.T. Barnum.
Wow. Wow. But then that kind of, but again, like children, so she goes back to her room. Gary decides he's going to sleep down there. But then suddenly, everybody's going to bed and Colin and Daisy are just walking up the steps. And she's just making out with him, holding on to that Yeti bottle.
Colin instigates.
He did instigate it.
Yeah. I from what I saw, Colin instigated. And I kind of went, I knew it was coming, but I didn't know it looked this way.
And they're going at it. And then I thought they were just going to make out. No. They're going back to his room, and or to Daisy's room, and he tells Matt, hey, I know I walked in on you and maybe saw your tits, but why don't you go back there and fuck Gary? Because you know that's what he wants.
Yeah, all of a sudden we had like Dark Colin. Like yes. Dark Phoenix.
Yes.
I just made a comic book reference. You should be happy about that.
I am a little bit. It's I mean, that movie came out a while ago, but it is an important comic book.
But that's the way it felt.
It did feel like that, yeah.
And everything kind of like up was down, night was day.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on.
I love that actor, Famke Janssen. She was great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
She was dating, I don't know if she was, but she was dating the son of the woman who ran the Oklahoma Arts Institute, the camp that I went to in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma. She was.
Was he out here?
No, I think they lived in New York or something like that. Not in Oklahoma. Not in West. Not the camp. There's nothing out there in Altus.
I agree with you.
Camp was in Lone Wolf, which is not close to Lone Grove. I'm from Lone Grove in Ardmore, but Lone Wolf is on the west side of the state by the Quartz Mountain Range, kind of closer to Amarillo almost. Basically, on the dry desert land where basically we ended up just moving all the Native Americans, including up the Panda, and the shittiest land in Oklahoma.
I'm glad that had a happy ending. So that's the show.
That's the show. On that note, everybody, that's the show. Oh,
Jeffrey
Gary and Mads,
Epstein.
Gary and Mads do fuck. We hear her moaning.
Is that, I thought.
And he's saying, girl, you're full of surprises.
They
fuck.
This was shot in such a quick, chaotic fashion. I didn't know what was going on.
No, they fucked.
I don't know why. It's always weird when people call out my name during sex. And
what do you want them to say?
I don't know.
Usually,
I just
like whore or slut or
no.
Or
it's Miss, just because
Miss McGillicuddy. What do you want?
It's not my first impulse to call out their name. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Actually, now that you said it, I haven't like been like, you know.
People do that with me. I don't know why.
No, I don't. People say your name?
Yes. And I don't usually say their name, mostly because I'm not sure if I remember it. But
I'm glad you're not using this as opportunity to try to insinuate how good in bed you are.
No, I think that's been established. But yeah. No, I'm just saying people say my name. And I'm always kind of like, okay. It's not what I would prefer. mostly. It's not the first thing I want to hear. I can't really say what that is on this podcast, but
you know, well, aren't you glad we introduced ourselves at the top of this show? As you know, Poodle's the humble one, y'all. Humble.
I'm Jake. Jake. Jake.
All right, everybody. On that note,
I just horrified some of our listeners.
Well, you horrified your co-host. That's it. We'll see you next week. Until then, everyone, it's what, Poodle?
Anchors are gay.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.